across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Dr. Alban, it's my life. Time to welcome my second set of guests for the afternoon. From Woodfine Solicitors, I've got Nick Dino, who heads up the residential property team. Very good afternoon to you, Nick.
Good afternoon.
And joined by Jennifer Mullocks, who is the regional partner for Garrington's.
Afternoon.
Very good afternoon to you, Jennifer. My notes that have come through, it says a company founded back in the 1990s by Phil Spencer.
Correct, yep. Phil noticed, he was talking to his friends, and his friends would say, can you help me with buying property, I'm getting stuck, the whole system, I don't understand the whole conveyancing process and so forth. And he realised there was a gap in the market there and started Garrington, which is named after his parents' farm in Canterbury. So, and from there, built up a very successful business helping people to buy. Very common in America, very common in Canada to use a buying agent and to sell and buy from both sides. Quite new to the UK, so he was one of the founding fathers.
I was going to say, if anyone knows about property buying in the UK, it's Phil Spencer,
exactly.
Isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Well, you're both very welcome. We've been talking off-air before. Cambridge is a real bubble, isn't it? In terms of property, the rest of the country, everything seems to be stagnating. I've been sort of paying attention to property prices in Norwich, and Norwich is just stagnant, and there's so much on the market. And if you want a flat or if you want a house in Norwich, take your pick. What colour would you like? What colour front door?
Absolutely. Very much depends on the area. Obviously, I cover East, but we have meetings to hear about what's happening with my colleagues in other parts of the country. I mean, London for years was a winner. Mm. People were really, it was very much thriving. Due to Brexit, things have changed quite drastically. I'm sure it will bounce back again. But Cambridge, as you just said, different areas, different things are taking place. In Cambridge, it's just always been a bubble. You have to be careful with predictions like that because who knows what happens in the future.
Yes.
But with all the science, the STEM, science, technology, engineering, pharmaceutical firms coming here and, opening their head offices and opening lots of sub-departments, I can't see it changing for a while. And what this therefore leads to is very much a high demand and still low stock.
Is that right? So it's very much the opposite of the situation in Norwich. You're fighting over every single house that
Absolutely.
Comes on.
Absolutely. It is a brilliant place to live, as we all know. It basically sells itself. Schooling, work, university, the hospital. So we have a steady flow of people coming, relocating as well, which is part of our business as well. Very much looking for that hidden gem.
But the trouble you get as well, though, isn't it, that so much of the technologies that you talk about there bring with it, and when you talk about the university as well, bring with it highly paid jobs for the. But at the other end at Addenbrookes, we've got the lower paid staff, and it's a real stretch in Cambridge, isn't it, between the in terms of income band.
Very much so, and I'd be lying to say if the people I deal with do tend to be more the high net worth individuals. It's definitely very difficult for people, even people in my sort of generation, to find properties. However, there are projects, there are developments taking place that are trying to offer opportunities for these people. And we were talking about new builds earlier on. So there are certain parts. There's also obviously a certain amount of social housing that comes with all of this. But yes, you're right. A lot of people are moving out or living in, as we call it, the necklace villages, or maybe heading to Ely, although that's shooting up as well.
Yeah.
A new market direction to be able to be near Cambridge, but still afford to live. Correct.
Absolutely. Now, when we were talking, just before I came on with this, we were saying, but when I bought my first house, which was 1982, and I paid 25 grand for a three-bed house, so that's how things have changed. But it wasn't then. No, that was stretching it, because salaries weren't quite up to that either. But it was, in those days, it all seemed an awful lot easier, and certainly the first couple of times I moved house, myself and my other half were going out on a Sunday morning, and you drove around, and you saw a house for sale, and you sort of rang the estate agent, went and had a look around. He thought, this is all quite nice. Bunged in an offer, got it accepted. Better put our house on the market then. It doesn't work like that anymore, does it? Nick, it's all changing.
It has changed, and I think that's for a variety of reasons, really. I think from a legal point of view, quite often we are instructed, once a property has been found, that presents difficulties insofar as we can't do the due diligence, get paperwork completed, ID, source of funds, until we've been instructed. So we've lost time, really. In an ideal world, we'd be instructed when people are looking for a property to purchase.
Right.
And then that way, you put yourself in a really strong position when you're looking for a property, because you've instructed solicitors. You're not losing time on filling in paperwork, due diligence. Your mortgage is lined up. So I think that's part of the issue. I think the other thing is, there are more hurdles, there's a lot more due diligence. So applying for a mortgage, perhaps, they're a bit more intrusive insofar as where the money's come from. Mm. I think, just to allude to a point that we discussed earlier, it's so hard to get in the property market. Bank of mum and dad, it's that kind of generation. And then there's wider considerations for a mortgage lender. So they want to know not just about your own finances, but actually money that's being provided to you. So it is a lot more of a drawn-out process, but I think part of that is because things are left too late on the day, and in addition to that, the formalities, the complexities in getting things lined up so that actually we can concentrate on the conveyancing, that's left 11th hour.
Right, so it really is a case of get all your ducks in a row to start with. And presumably, Jennifer, as well, you're saying that you kind of, you try and jump the market a bit. I was saying about driving around looking for a house for sale. Well, you're already ahead of the game, aren't you?
That's what we do. That, you know, sourcing and acquiring, it's all about high stock, low demand, so you need to really dig deep. And a lot of properties we find for our clients never even come to the market. There is truly a hidden market. This is a lot of it is thanks to agents who work with clients who maybe don't necessarily want it plastered all over, right move, and want to make sure that the person looking to buy the property is actually serious and committed and has the funds, be it mortgage, cash, whichever way. Sometimes it's also a delicate situation maybe in their home life that they don't really want to put it out there. So definitely off-market opportunities, pre-market, so getting my foot in the door before anyone else does. And again, linking into what Nick just said, if you know, my clients have to have everything, all their ducks in a row, have everything sorted out before we even consider approaching the property, because there'll be 10 other people behind them doing the same thing. And so, big tip for anyone out there, if you're looking to buy, you know, you don't necessarily have to have cash, but make sure you have everything arranged, good solicitor in hand, signed up. That take another week or two, as Nick said, they have to do the legalities. You know, make sure you have a mortgage advisor at hand, everything ready to go, because it's a bit of a war out there.
So how tight is the timing on this? Because in a lot of cases, people are, when they want to buy, when they want to sell, it's because they've got something they want to buy. So there's always this chain lining up, and there's always this sort of lag down the chain, isn't there? Things stretch out, and there's people at the top end who are sort of threatening to pull out if we don't exchange soon. It's all finished. What are the main problems like that, and how do we get around that?
Well, from my point of view, that's obviously why I believe it's helpful to have a buying agent, is I manage the whole process and keep in touch with all parties to make sure it works. Over to Nick. It's hard for him, I guess, because you need to make sure that you're in touch with all the lawyers down the line.
It's a tricky question, and I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all answer to that point there. Going back to what Jennifer said earlier and what I've mentioned, you know, getting everything lined up sooner rather than later, so that actually, you know, you can end up in a situation where if people don't do that, at the bottom of the chain, the contract may have been issued 2 weeks ago. Mm. But at the top of the chain, they haven't actually instructed solicitors yet. So we're not all starting the race from the same start line. So the problem starts there. And I think it's always about communication. You know, when you have chains, there are issues that you're not completely in control of, whether you're the solicitor, the agent, the client, because there are lots of things that come into the melting pot, whether you're waiting for a mortgage from a mortgage lender, whether you're waiting for a search result. So it's always a juggling act, but I think communication is the key, and just working with the interested parties in an effective manner, so that actually we can manage expectations for clients. They understand, actually, we're waiting for something back, but as soon as that comes in, that's the last piece of the jigsaw. I like to pick up the phone and speak to clients. It's a bit old-fashioned, but the problem with an email is you'll go back and forth, when actually a quick telephone call, clients feel good, they know that I'm alive and kicking, and you can just deal with concerns in a quick fashion rather than bouncing through emails. So again, that helps the process. I think sometimes getting a faceless email just aggravates the situation. Yes. I know it's a great means of communication, but actually just sometimes picking up the phone, that helps manage expectations and helps keep people cool in a tricky situation. It's the biggest investment of their life. It's not as if they're, without wanting to be flippant, they're not going to a supermarket and buying a loaf of bread. That's in their control. It's an instant process. But with conveyancing, you know, a lot of people don't understand the role of a solicitor and why we need to make sure that everything is all in order, and that we're not in control of ensuring that things happen in a timely fashion.
Sure. Now, Jennifer, you were saying about, you know, if you've not got your ducks in order, there's often in your sort of scenario, there's 10 other people who have. Mm. Are we seeing a return to gazumping then and things like that? Will other people cut in and go, well, I'm ready to exchange and things like that?
Yeah, that's not quite... I mean, gazumping really is where the seller says, I'll take the offer and then decides to go with another offer instead. And actually, I don't really see that a lot around Cambridge. It's maybe not the kind of people... I don't know why exactly, but it happened a lot when I used to work in London. Maybe it's a sign of the times, I don't know. I mean, definitely, for a better word, it definitely is a case of if you're getting quickly with a good figure, you can get a good deal done. I do explain to people, and this is in any bracket you buy in, if you're a good buyer, there are still sellers out there who will prefer a good buyer over the money. And that's happened over and over again. So, again, just wanted to go back to your early comments about it. I agree with you. It's hard for a lot of people being able to buy in Cambridge. You know, don't worry about thinking you can't, get a property or it's above your means. If you are a good buyer, you have your ducks in a row and everything ready to go, and you come over very committed and professional to get it done, that would be that's a better way for an agent to put you forward than anyone else. And it really does count.
And you, as a buying agent, estate agents on the selling side of things have had an image issue over the years,
I used to be one, so I know what it's like.
Exactly. So how does that work for you? Because you kind of know the tricks, don't you? Know the sort of things that they're going to say, which are perhaps stalling for some reason.
I've taken a lot of time to build up this relationship together with our MD, Jonathan Hopper. It's very important, wherever in whichever region you are, to don't shoot yourself in the foot. Keep good relationships with people, work well together with, we get on very well as well with Woodfines. Very important to keep relationships going. It's taken time. I think initially agents thought, why are you on my patch? What do you want? Now they realise we can work together, because it's much easier for an agent, if it were, for example, a property that I was buying for a client through an agent, it's not always the case, for an agent to call me and to say to me, look, we've got a bit of problem with this, or haven't you sorted out that? They're not going to get that have that conversation as open conversation, if you like, with a person buying, and I can. So
indeed,
we actually get the deal done at a different level.
And often,
a smoother level.
You get that call saying, well, there's this or there's that which we need. And for me, as the Joe Public, I don't really have quite a clue what you're talking about. You know this sort of stuff. It's what you do every time of the week.
I can keep them calm. As Nick said, it's a very emotional thing to do, buying property. Very much underestimated how much stress comes with it for people. So we're all here to keep everyone calm and happy and to communicate. And I very much agree with Nick saying the word communication. That is key for us. It's important that they're able to speak to their solicitor, either through me or themselves. It's important that I'm very open with the estate agent. So we've built it up over the years. It works really well. And the agents, I hope, very much like working with us, because they know who our clients are. They know that we've got everything lined up and they know that they're committed, and that I will be guiding the whole thing through.
Excellent. So it might cost you a little bit more, because I'm presuming you don't work for nothing.
I do it for free. No, you don't. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's often with houses, you say, it's such an emotive subject,
it's
isn't
incredible.
It? That you just turn around at the end and go, oh, for goodness sake, it's a couple of grand, just get it done. Isn't it? That's
very
often the way.
So.
It's about getting it achieved.
What we do is A to Z. We work literally. I found a wood polishing firm the other day for a client of mine, because he's got this specific floor that needs doing. I can help people with landscape. Put them in contact with landscape gardeners. It's the whole process all the way through. It's not just finding the property. I always say to them, a bit corny, but it's not just the property you're buying. You're buying a lifestyle. So it's important to be aware of who your neighbours are. We look into all these things. We do due diligence.
That's interesting.
We check out if we think they're going to be building a Tesco's in the back garden. It's very important.
And that's also come up a little bit, I guess, Nick, as well, hasn't it? Since my early days, there was none of this sort of check about disputes with neighbours. There, as you say, things like planning, that was never around, or maybe a little bit of it in some of the searches, but stuff got just swept under the carpet, didn't it?
I think we've become a lot more diligent in terms of what we do. So, for example, when you're selling a property, the seller's expected to complete what's called a property information form, and that covers things like issues to do with developments, boundary disputes, Japanese knotweed.
Mm. Yes.
So the forms have become a lot more comprehensive. The idea that we all use these forms is hopefully so that we can streamline the process. If we're all subscribing to the same kind of forms, hopefully we'll get less silly questions, really, that could have been covered at the outset in a simple form that a seller should find relatively easy to complete. But the searches, we still do the same searches that we did many years ago. So we do a local authority search, and it tells us things about road adoption, potential development, enforcement notices. We do a drainage search that tells us things like is the property on mains water supply, mains drainage. We do an environmental search, and that flags up issues to do with contaminated land, flooding, that kind of thing. But we can also, there are now lots of other searches that are available. So if you wanted to find out a bit more about development, as Jennifer mentioned, you can carry out a particular search that tells you development that's on the radar now. But the thing to appreciate is whilst we can do all of these searches, they are a snapshot of time.
Yeah.
They show us what's on the radar
especially
right
with
now.
Especially with Cambridge moving.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I can imagine.
So your view today may not be there tomorrow, and you've got to factor that in. And I think it goes back to what Jennifer mentioned earlier. Doing all of the due diligence, getting all the ducks in a row, being live to these issues at the outset and accepting the position will hopefully mean less fall-throughs, less gazumping, because actually you're not going to 6 weeks into the transaction think, I didn't know about that.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. So really we're talking, everyone knows you have to have a solicitor. We've now got this concept of having a buyer's agent, and it's actually people local on the ground is the key. You guys have got your ears to the ground.
Absolutely.
You know where the properties are coming up,
yep.
And you know what's going on in the planning side of things. So it's actually getting that, pulling on that local knowledge. Because there was a time when everyone was sort of, oh, you can do it yourself, you know. You can do all this self.
Yeah.
No chance. Absolutely. I took one look at that once and thought, I don't think so. No. I think I'll pay people who know.
It's a lot of work. There's much more to it than people really realise.
So, yes.
You know, getting surveyors in, speaking to solicitors, getting the help. And there's much more to it. I think the length of time as well doesn't only have to do with the fact that conveyancing can take time. Part of that as well, as we were saying earlier, is due diligence. Going back, measuring, checking. If it's a listed building, looking further into the history, what you can and can't do.
Mm.
So much more to it.
Excellent. All right, well, there we go. Jennifer, if people want to get a hold of you,
they can. I think probably the best thing to do is go onto our website and go to literally just type in Garrington. They don't have to type in East. They don't have to type in anything else. You just type in Garrington, comes straight up number one at the top as buying agent in the country. And then they will find me under the Eastern region.
Excellent. And Nick, obviously we can find you through Woodfines. Only just a short walk from the studio. So excellent. Well, there we are. So that's Jennifer Mullock. She's regional partner for Garrington's. You can find them at garrington.co.uk. And Nick Dino, who heads up the residential property team at Woodfines, you'll find him at woodfines.co.uk. Interesting times, I would guess, for both of you at
very
the moment.
So.
Especially right this minute, just keeping
very
your eye
much.
On the market.
The last 10 years have been very interesting to watch. We're really in a very special time right now.
And where do you think? I mean, you said about things will all, it'll all come round, it'll all sort out. But what sort of time frame are you looking at, do you think?
In what
before things are sort of, everything settles and we're all back to where we were in the 80s and the 90s.
Oh, God.
Halcyon days.
Everything in Cambridge is bite-sized. I'm just still getting over the last year. So,
really?
Let's hit 31st of October and take it from there.
Okay, that's sound advice. Lovely to meet you both. Jennifer, Nick, thanks very much indeed for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you very much.